They lead American cities, and they're questioning American immigration policy.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A deal in the Senate is drawing more Republican support to an immigration overhaul bill. Senators have beefed up security in the plan, doubling the amount of Border Patrol agents. There could be a test vote on it as soon as Monday. So that is Washington. But outside the Beltway, where people live, cities deal with the reality of immigration. Today, their leaders are meeting at the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Las Vegas. They are expected to call for Congress to get moving on immigration. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports on what cities want.
Research shows that immigrants start more small businesses than your average American. Raul Salinas is mayor of Laredo, Texas. Salinas also chairs an immigration task force for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. He says immigration reform means potential revenue for cities.
They will bring billions and billions of dollars to this economy. Let's bring them out of the shadows and put them to work.
Leslie Wallach is with the National League of Cities, which lobbies the federal government on behalf of cities.
If immigrants, particularly the undocumented, are allowed to participate fully in the economy, they'll have better jobs, hopefully with health care, so that the public will not be having to support them and pay for emergency care.
Cities also pay to lock up undocumented immigrants. The federal government is supposed to cover that cost, but Wallach says cities have been getting stuck with the bill. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
In just over 100 days, millions of Americans can sign up for health insurance through President Obama's health care law. But even after it takes effect, some 30 million people won't get covered. From the health desk at WHYY in Philly, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein explains.
So here's who won't be covered.
The majority are white. 80% are citizens. The majority are employed.
That's Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, who co-authored a recent report about the uninsured under Obamacare. Woolhandler says most of the 30 million people would get federal money to help pay for insurance. But she says with salaries averaging $22,000 a year, for most of them, that won't be enough.
Even if you're subsidized, you still have to pay thousands of dollars out of pocket, and lots of low and middle income people won't be able to do that.
Woolhandler says many of these people work in industries that don't offer insurance – agriculture, forestry, the service sector. She says between premiums, copays, and deductibles, health costs will easily run into the thousands.
That would be hard.
Russ, a New York-based musician, says he already has trouble paying his medical bills. Russ has a bad heart. He says because he only brings in $30,000 a year, some months he skips his blood thinners. Other months, it's the cholesterol pills.
When you have very few alternatives, you tend to take the one that you have to take, the best of a lousy bunch.
For people like Russ, less insurance means less care. According to the Urban Institute, the uninsured get about half the care they would get if they had insurance. So what does that mean for the rest of us?
Strictly economically, having 10% that are uninsured means that health care spending will be lower.
That's economist Paul Ginsberg, who runs the Center for Studying Health System Change. Most economists agree lower health care costs is good for the nation's economy. But
we usually want to save money through delivering care more efficiently, not by having people who need care go without.
Ginsberg says while 30 million uninsured people will save money, there will be costs. Sicker patients. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
Let's talk the business of piracy. A new report shows that while Somali pirate attacks have plummeted, there's a growing threat on the other side of the continent. West African pirates are launching bold attacks, mostly targeting oil cargo off the coast of Nigeria. The BBC's Will Ross is in Lagos. Hello, Will.
Hi.
So why are we seeing more attacks in West African waters?
I think it's very clear that there's not nearly enough security right along the West African coast, or at least within the Gulf of Guinea, and opportunists are seeing that there are great chances to make money, firstly by attacking cargo vessels. Usually these are carrying petroleum products, but also in recent months we've been seeing some attacks where former militants from the Niger Delta are going out into the sea and they're bringing back hostages, and then they're getting money that way through ransom.
And let's talk about just the increased costs that these companies are having to deal with, the shipping companies, in terms of insurance, in terms of security.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of the sort of fees that are charged by the security firms are extraordinary. I spoke to one man from a security company who said they were involved with bringing a large rig to one of the Nigerian ports, and it got delayed on the way, and they had their soldiers on board, and it ended up costing close to $500,000 in security fees alone. When it comes to the loss from the cargo ships, we understand that often when the pirates attack these ships, they siphon off the fuel, and they're leaving with between about $2 and $6 million worth of petroleum products.
How are governments and shipping companies responding?
Well, the Nigerian Navy is not particularly powerful, but piracy has led to an increase in the number of private security firms getting involved. And I've spoken to a few people from independent security companies who say that, you know, nowadays it's not uncommon for them to hire soldiers from the Nigerian government. So, you know, it does lead to some people wondering, when so many businesses are benefiting from the piracy, on the one hand, you could say it's a bit of a deterrent to stop it.
Okay, the BBC's Will Ross in Lagos. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And finally, if you follow sports even a little, you know that champions were crowned yesterday after a hard-fought series. I'm speaking, of course, of the National Marbles Tournament in Wildwood, New Jersey. Emily Cavicini and Cooper Fisher took home the titles. Oh, and yesterday also, the Miami Heat knocked off the San Antonio Spurs in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Now, before that decisive game, LeBron James said it was, quote, for all the marbles. Now, he may be King James on the court, but in the circle of a marble match, these preteens would destroy him. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.